Praise the Lord. Praise God. Welcome, everyone. Welcome all of you here this evening. Welcome you that's joining us right now online. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. Regardless of how it's been wet and droopy and rainy, I am still glad for this day. And I will bless the Lord for this day. The Lord is good, and He's good all the time. Praise the Lord. I'd like to thank you right now for joining this evening Bible study. Sometimes I succeed in keeping things brief, and other times I don't. So please forgive me if I go a little bit past intended, but by all means, may the Holy Spirit minister to you. May the Spirit of God speak to you directly. We're going to go straight in the Word, but before we do, let's start with the opening prayer. Lord, we worship You, Lord. Lord, we bless Your holy name. Lord, we love You. We love You so much. Lord, I thank You for being here with us. I thank You so much, Lord, for Your presence. Thank You, Lord, for visiting us, Lord, every single service. And I thank You, Lord, for Your awesome presence that just brings that thing, that gladness, that sense of fulfillment and completeness and joy of abundance, Lord, that only Your Holy Spirit can give. We thank You, Lord, and we bless Your name. Lord, we worship You. Exalted be Your name, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I know I was talking about something last week. I was elaborating on rekindling the fire, and my intentions were to continue that this evening, but things took a slight turn. The Lord has me speaking about something slightly different. So it could be that in the future, I might revisit that topic. But for right now, the Lord has something else in mind. Now, I want to talk about a particular individual found in the Old Testament. A particular individual that we are all very familiar with, and also his associations. His name is Jehoshaphat. And we know where Jehoshaphat came from. We know his influences. We know that at one point he was totally, totally sold out for God. All of that good stuff. But the title to this evening's service is Jehoshaphat's Departure from God. I want to elaborate on that. As time goes on, I've come to notice that many people teach today that if one is ever saved, he can never sin so as to be lost. I've heard it said numerous times recently. I've heard it mentioned in the past before. But you want to know something? The Bible contains warning after warning after warning, speaking against apostasy continuously. It's all over the Bible from cover to cover. Now, why warn people of this sin? Potentially one might say that cannot be committed, right? The writer to the book of Hebrews, we all know who he is. He says these words, "Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief." And then it continues on by saying, in falling away from the living God, which clearly tells you right now for you to watch out, take care, watch your step, watch where you're going, keep guard, because there is a potential that you could fall away from your Maker, from your Lord. There's the possibility. So then, the notion of once saved, always saved, or you could never lose your salvation, or you could never sin to the point that you will be lost and all of that, well, ultimately, you're throwing that verse completely out the window, right? But nonetheless, can I have Hebrews 3, 12 through 13, please? It says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Well, now, so here, clearly, Paul is saying that there is a possibility that our hearts could be hardened by something. It could be whatever the case might be. It doesn't go into explanation what exactly, but there is that possibility that we could drift away. To the Galatian brethren, Paul said these words in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. I'm ready for that. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Aha. Now, it looks like it has already happened. It looks like once upon a time, they were doing good. They were going strong. They were doing well. And now all of a sudden, Paul is saying, what happened? What's going on? Who made you stumble? Who made you fall? Why aren't you growing? Or why have you fallen back? So nonetheless, here are warnings right now. Right? And this is after the death of Christ. That's after the cross, right? But now, I want to say that we can learn much from the life of Jehoshaphat that happened many, 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 many years prior to all of this when this was written. Now, I want to show you how Jehoshaphat was highly honored once upon a time. Can I please have 2 Chronicles 17, 3? And it says, now, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David, and he did not seek the Baals. Right there. I want to say, first and foremost, and this is going to piggyback off of what have already been saying for a while now, even including this morning, Sunday morning service, that if you choose to walk with God, if you choose to obey God, His success and your success, His or her success is guaranteed, 100%. It doesn't matter. This morning I asked the question, don't we all want to know God's perfect will in our lives? Are we always seeking to know what is God's perfect will towards everything? Towards what I should wear today? Towards what should my next meal be? What should I say in this particular situation? What decision do I need to make about this, that, and the other thing, right? And this is what we are seeing right now in the very beginning here of the story of Jehoshaphat. He loved God. He feared God. He followed the examples of his father David. He saw how David loved the Lord. David was a just man, a man of value, a man who put God at its highest priority. And he took heed and he followed in his father's footsteps. And he found success. So therefore, when we choose to obey God, when we choose to love the Lord, to do according to His commands, success follows. And in the beginning, Jehoshaphat did not let the sins of others become a stumbling block for him. He knew that God is the perfect example, and he chose to follow God. And God blessed him, and he was successful in all that he did. Now, we see him later on greatly encouraged. Can I have 2 Chronicles 17:6. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. And it just continues on. Here you see a man who has taken action, who doesn't just love the Lord with his words. It's not just vague, but he's doing something about it. Jehoshaphat guarded against his heart becoming consumed with pride at the beginning of his reign. And lately I've been studying pride a lot. It's come across my desk quite a bit. And it's something that we all need to watch over. You know, a lot of times we have pride in our heart and we don't even recognize and we don't even know it. A lot of times we think that everything is okay. We think that we are doing the right thing, but we're not. There has been times that I have not received my answer. I did not receive my miracle up until the time that I put pride to the side and I didn't even know it. I distinctively remember one time I asked my father, why is it that such and such is not happening and I haven't received the answer? And I still remember to this day, my father looked at me straight in the face and said, because the Lord said it's due to pride. And I almost hit the floor. I literally almost hit the floor. And this was around a time that I personally think that I was overly sensitive about pride. And I personally thought myself that I should put all that pride shenanigan off to the side. And I tried to walk, tried to change my ways around, polish myself up a little bit, clean myself up. But little did I know that I still had a prideful spirit. And I asked the Lord to show me what it was. And he did. And I received my breakthrough. To the point that even to this day, I still experience my breakthrough. But nonetheless, it's very important that we don't carry any sort of pride because it's natural. It's within our nature. We are born with it. It's inside of us. And it's very important for us to guard our hearts against such a thing, as did Jehoshaphat. And he evidently realized that pride goes before destruction, goes before the fall. Just like found in the book of Proverbs, in a haughty spirit before a fall. He knew that. And the Lord our God gives no encouragement to one who chooses to live a manner of life that is opposite to his will. If you are doing something right now that is contrary to the will of God, I will even go as far as saying that if you know what the will of God is and you know what you're supposed to be doing and you don't do it, I feel sorry for you. I feel very sorry for you. I'm a product of running away for many, many years, and I knew what the right thing was for me to do, but yet I didn't do it. I personally know people who are very, very close to me who have been running, and they have reached rock bottom to the point that they can't go any further. And now the Lord is finally bringing them back. But ultimately, the Lord gives no encouragement whatsoever, no support whatsoever for those who willingly choose to oppose His will. Only when we choose God's holy word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path can we expect to experience His blessings. Can we expect to experience His goodness that He has for us? Now, one thing that is very, very, very much important that we must all be very careful of, and once in a while I'll bring this up, I'll give a reminder to folks, is that it's very important for us to not be unequally yoked. Very important. And we see that he was, at one point in his life, unequally yoked. Can I have, please, 2 Chronicles 18:1. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and by marriage he allied himself with Ahab. Ooh. Now the story takes a funny twist, a very, very funny turn. The Bible also reminds us, okay, on the topic of unequally yoked, it reminds us of this one important truth that is found in the New Testament, and that's 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Right? Right there. Now, we all know, most of us know how this story ended. But do you think that all of that could have been avoided if potentially Jehoshaphat wouldn't mix himself with the wrong crowd, with the wrong people, the wrong influence? And after all that he had already done up until this point, just for him to be influenced by another person, by a companion, by a human being, all of this that he has done, and then all of a sudden, it's just about out of the window simply because he linked himself up with the wrong people. And Ahab, right, we just finished reading that he just collaborated with Ahab through marriage. Ahab was a well-known enemy of God. And I want to say that there is no way that Jehoshaphat could not have known that. There isn't any way whatsoever. No way, no how. He must have known that he did not worship the God of Israel, that he did not have fear of the Lord, that he went against every single thing that Jehoshaphat just went against, just cleaned up. Ahab was a known enemy of God. Now, potentially you might be asking, why would a righteous person desire to associate with one like Ahab's reputation? Why? What is the case? In the Old Testament, we read in 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 33, these words. It says, "And Ahab made a wooden image." There we go. "And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him." I mean, this guy had no shame. No shame whatsoever. And now, When one chooses to form a friendship with a worldly person, soon he will be in fellowship with his worldly ways. Oftentimes, it's inevitable. You cannot run away from it. As soon as we start hanging with that crowd, all of a sudden we're going to start talking like them, using their verbiage. We're going to start dressing like how they dress. We might even carry the same haircut as they have, you know. I've had the pleasure of selling cars to all types of people. And there is a Vietnamese colony in Catonsville, which is about, I don't know, 25 minutes from here. And those guys, they stick together. I mean, they really do. They all know each other. They all know each other's families. They all know their neighborhoods, and they all go to the same restaurants, and they go to the same bars. A lot of them go to the casino together, and they go and gamble and have their time. Well, the point that I'm trying to make is that when one of the guys drives a particular car, they all drive the same car. So one of them showed up, and he was. They were all driving BMWs, and it's like this clique is like 12 of them, right? They're all driving BMWs, and one of them made a mistake of being sold on a Porsche. And guess what? In a matter of like 2 months, they were all driving Porsches. Every single one of them. And they all came to see me. Praise God. Well, praise God for that. But, you know, this is the power of influence that one person has over another. You know, when you associate yourself to a person that you care, respect, that you value their opinion, if you spend enough time with someone, that particular individual will have an influence on you. Hopefully we could be like our Lord, and we could be the influence on other people. But we must also practice prudence, practice wisdom. And the Bible clearly instructs us for us to not be unequally yoked, specifically with the world. But now, going back to the story that we were talking about, here you have Ahab, who is, I'd say he is the worst king, the worst leader that Israel has ever had in the entire history of the nation. And you who know this and see these things, why would you affiliate yourself with, why would you go as far as marrying his daughter? This is the question. Nehemiah's answer should be our answer also. As I'm going to bring to your attention right now, Nehemiah 6, verses 3. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? This should be also our answer. Why should a faithful child of God willingly depart from the highway of holiness to travel the path of ungodliness? You know you are a new creation, a new person, right? Things aren't the way that they used to. Your life is different. Why would you go back? Backwards. Why would you go back to the poverty lifestyle, the poverty mentality? Why would you set yourself up for destruction? The Lord is clearly blessing your socks off, right? He has given you a new meaning of life. And now you want to leave all that behind solely because of bad associations. Christians must not be unequally yoked with unbelievers whatsoever. Light does not mix with darkness. Darkness may need the light, but light can have no fellowship with darkness. Do you have there, brother, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18? I don't know if I put that on the list. Yes, all of them, please. Beautiful. Thank you so much. No. Right there, sir. And do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you the Christian, you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separated, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Verse 18 says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. These are words from our God. These are words from the Lord that the Lord has given us. You see why there's an importance in here for us to be separated? We are exclusive. Right? I don't want to say we're a members only club, but nonetheless, it is a world club. That's correct. I like that. And we're trying to recruit as many people as possible to join this club, this royal club. 100%. We are not the same as what's out there. And when will we learn that compromise is a killer? When is it going to get through our heads? The moment Jehoshaphat promised to help Ahab, he was worthless to the cause of our God. One does not mingle with the enemy and come out unscathed. Not at all. And the Lord our God warns us in Matthew chapter 12, verses 30, these words. He who is not with me is what? Against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Right there. So, it's either one or the other. It's either you're going to serve the Lord with all of your heart. Either you're going to separate yourself for the cause of the Lord. Either you will seek Him, seek to do His will, and be exclusively the Lord's, or you're not. There is no in-between, none whatsoever. The Lord can use every single one of us in a very, 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 very powerful way. Every single one of us to reach the lost, to reach the people who need to hear the gospel of God, and whatever the case might be. But nonetheless, we must know that we cannot mix with the world. None whatsoever. We belong to God. And fellowship, communion, closeness with people that don't share our same interest is only a recipe for disaster. We must always be the bondservant of our Lord Jesus Christ while refusing to be a sinful slave of this world and everything that this world has to offer. So now, This message is for you. If in case you're wondering, if in case you're riding the fence, if you're wondering why things are not working out, if you're wondering why things were once upon a time great and now they're not anymore, could it be that your influences, your outside influence might have a role in all of that? Could it be that your fire for the love, your fire for the Lord and your love for the Lord is now not what he once used to be? It could be the people that are influencing you. Please, take it to heart. Amen, church. This is what the Lord had me share for his people today. And at this time, we're going to conclude with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we worship you. We exalt you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder for every single one of us, for us to be exclusively loyal, Lord, to you. May we always, Lord, hear the voice of your Holy Spirit and not, Lord, outside influences. May we always, Lord, seek you first. Prioritize, Lord, you above everything else, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would be a light to the world and not mingle, Lord, with the world. May you use us, Lord, in a powerful, powerful way to bring your kingdom, Lord, to everyone we come across. Use us, Lord, in a mighty way. We want to serve you, Lord. We want to be true to you and you alone. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. We worship you. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.